Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, we had an eventful week since we last spoke to the old listeners here. We had something happen on Saturday. I already forgot. The tape is burned. No one will ever see it again. And then we saw what happened on Monday, which was kind of fun. And Allen Fieldhouse, were you there, Andrew, on Monday?
No, I was with you.
Oh, yeah, we were out of town. That's right.
No,
we were in Dallas.
We were in Dallas.
I forgot you were there.
You forgot I was there? I was sitting right next to you.
Nah, you were over the corner doing your own thing.
Yeah, that's right, I was. But the game was on. We were watching the game in the same room. So, no, I was not there. We had this thing come up. I had to sell my tickets to this game. And when they sent the invitation around of like, what dates can't you do? I basically said, I have all of February open except for February 25th. And that was the KUK State game. And then they chose February 25th and 26th for it. So bummer. I should have just said, sorry, guys, I told you my date. So I sold my tickets. It was a great game on Monday against K-State. And I don't even remember what happened on Saturday. So we'll just move on and talk about
actually,
Monday.
Pretty sure we were together for that game too.
Yeah.
But real quick,
too much.
You had tickets to the game, the KUK State game. I got tickets. My dad calls, says I have tickets that day, the Monday. And he said, you want to go? And I was like, oh man, I got to go to this thing in Dallas. And, turns out, They were the front row tickets. Front row tickets. I'd have been there next to Bukati. Me and Bukati.
That's what I was going to say. It could have been you and Bukati. You could have taken the heat from him, because if it was like local podcaster waves a piece of paper at Barry Brown or whoever it was, then it would have been like funnier and we could have like used it as like publicity for the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. But now it's like Nate Bukati like becoming a folk hero to some and a villain to others.
Total villain. That was hilarious. We can get into that, Andrew, but it was a fun week. I'm not sure what to think of the Texas Tech game. I think frankly, Bill Self said he's not going to watch the tape. I'm not going to dwell on it. Like it's gone. Okay. It's over.
Yeah, so
it was a weird game. They made 79% of their 3-pointers or something. That's not real. I'm just going to let that one go.
We're going to let it go. So what we are going to talk about, we're not going to talk about Texas Tech because we just did it. But we're going to talk about Mitch Lightfoot and everything surrounding Mitch Lightfoot, including the song that came out last week on this very podcast.
This very podcast.
That has gotten some, I hesitate to say viral play, but like some viral play. Like in the podcast, we said that we weren't going to release it to the public, but you've changed that tune. Why did you do that?
The people, man. The people wanted it.
The people wanted it. You got to give the people what they want.
That's sort of true and sort of not true. What I kept hearing was I have to queue up the podcast to 6 minutes and 18 seconds every time I want to hear the song.
Yeah, which is fine.
That's fine. But then it's not fine.
Downloads. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the K-State game a little bit more. And you know, it's that time of year. K-State gets a little frosty. They have a game lead in the conference, but they're still a little frosty.
Mm-hmm.
A little frosty. And then we're going to talk about some, Big 12 going forward, what this roster looks like, and that should get us through. So, but let's start with what everybody wants to talk about. Let's talk about Mitch. So I just want to know the reaction from your end about this Mitch Lightfoot song. We put this out, a week ago.
I was just checking YouTube. Sorry, I wasn't trying to play it. It started playing. I was seeing how many YouTube views there were as you were talking.
So this was released Wednesday night, right? Was it last Wednesday night? Last Tuesday night, maybe? Whenever it was.
Whenever that was.
When did you know that it kind of caught on?
When Mitch messaged me. the night that we posted it.
It was the same night?
Yeah.
He messaged, oh, wow.
And goes, he said something like, can you send me that? Like, because he wanted the actual song.
Yeah.
And also turns out, Andrew, I mean, I don't want to out the guy, but he's a listener to the podcast too.
Which, who's not?
Who's not? So we always knew that Bill Self was a listener to the podcast. We always knew that.
Right.
And we assumed that the athletics department, we assumed that, you know, the AD, we assumed that basically anyone really affiliated with the University of Kansas in any meaningful way listens to the podcast. We just had that assumption, right?
Les Miles has been for years.
Oh, for years. He got into podcasting because he wanted to, you know, follow right. our footsteps. Right. Just like a lot of folks these days. But we were trying to Andrew get the podcast out to folks, and it turns out Mitch likes it, and he sends me a message, and I was like, you know, that's nice of him to say, but like, I'm not gonna believe that he actually listens to the podcast. He probably just saw that his name was tagged or whatever. And then Andrew, he sends a picture of him eating McDonald's. And he's like, see, McDonald's Mitch from our last podcast when you said you want Mitch Lightfoot to gain 60 pounds and become a force inside.
Well, no, what I said was I wanted fat Mitch.
Mitch.
I wanted Mitch to get fat. So that's a pretty deep cut, even though it was in the just last episode.
That proves that I think
it was just like an offhand comment that I made. And I even think like I interrupted you from moving on to another segment just to say, you know what I want Mitch to get fat. And then we moved on to the next thing. Like it wasn't even anything planned or big. So for him to pick that up, that's good.
That's good. And it's, you know, it goes to show that the Mitch is a man of the people. I think we knew that already.
That's right.
And that's one thing that I think a lot of people have grown to love about Mitch. He's a man of the people. Andrew, since the song has come out, yeah, I mean, there's some Nick Schwartz played it on his show, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. Rock Chalk Sports Talk. That was
1320
cool.
KWN.
Our guy Nick Schwartz, and then which we should have him on the podcast sometime. He like we don't do guests that often, but he seems like a guy that could probably hang. Like, you know,
guests are too much work.
I know guests are a lot of work, Andrew. But yeah, he played the song. That was cool. A couple of people talking about it, whatever. Mitch tweeted it. And then our guy Gifhawk or fake or not Gifhawk. What's his new one? Free Gifhawk.
Oh, yeah. Because didn't he get booted?
Yeah. He keeps getting kicked off Twitter.
So he was coloring KU for a while, and then he was Gifhawk, and now he's Super Gifhawk.
And somewhere in their Kansas vault. I don't know. It was just for a few minutes.
Oh, that's him too. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I can't keep up.
He's great. Follow him on Twitter. Everyone does. He's awesome. He's excellent at media stuff and turning things into cool GIFs and videos. And he said, let me turn No Easy Buckets, which is what we ended up naming the song, into a video. I said, go for it. And he did. And it's pretty awesome. And so that kind of was the second wave of people listening to the song, Andrew. And then the third wave was during the game that Mitch, of course, has a breakout game.
Right. So the worst thing that could have happened to you in the popularity of this was Saturday night, because then it like killed the momentum of the whole deal. It's like mm-hmm. no one wants to have a celebratory mm-hmm. Song about Mitch or about anyone. Then Monday happens and Mitch. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a breakout game, but he was a breakout
awesome.
Game.
He was awesome.
He had like three blocks in a row, which was awesome. He had 9 points. He had a couple of rebounds. He frustrated Dean Wade, which I think was my big takeaway.
Oh yeah. He was a force in the game without having to score, which is what you want from Mitch.
It was an awesome like celebration of Mitch with the song being out, with him having an awesome game, and then beating K-State in probably the biggest game of the year in Allen Fieldhouse. I heard it was jacked. I heard it was juiced. I heard the place was. I heard it was just like the place to be in the country that night. So I'm just so pissed off that I didn't get to see it. But that's okay. Mitch had a great game. The song lives on. Any other like reactions from this? From you becoming I mean, you're up there with Redhead now, right?
I think so. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, me and Redhead. No, Andrew, I'm not sure I'm up with Redhead, but I did see just before we started recording this podcast, our guy Matt Tate at the LJ World put out a story that says Lightfoot's perseverance leads to popular important role at KU. Ooh. And so, I mean, I'm reading through it. It looks good. I'll read the mid stories. And it gets to a point where it goes, one diehard KU fan with a strong Twitter presence of his own recently penned and produced a song, No Easy Buckets, that pays homage to Lightfoot's game and name and the impact the junior is beginning to have on this team.
Ooh, you yeah. made it. You are now one diehard KU fan. You've made it. I mean, that's...
I'm not going to be... I ain't mad at Matt. But come on, like, at least put Jayhawk Talk or at least put a link to the video or something. One diehard KU fan? Is that all I guess that's all I am. I mean, like...
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not trying to be more than that. He did, the preceding paragraph says, in addition to his own Twitter account, which he uses regularly, a handful of fake Lightfoot accounts have surfaced, including Prison Mitch, Martini Room Mitch, Showtime Mitch, and a couple more whose handles are not suitable for print. Andrew, I haven't seen the other ones.
I haven't either.
I haven't heard
but
of...
But now I want to know, like, what are these dirty Mitch accounts?
If you were going to create a Mitch account, what would it be?
A dirty Mitch account?
Any Mitch account. Let's create six new Mitch accounts right now.
Okay. Now, it has to be different. So you have to go through this. Like, Prison Mitch takes a lot of that away from you because you can't do anything similar to it.
Right.
So I would say CEO Mitch.
Ooh, I like
this. This is Mitch in like 20 years. He runs like a bond trading company in Phoenix. And like, he doesn't tweet about basketball. He just tweets about like, you know, municipal bond prices.
So it's like Matt Kleinman, but he does stuff. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah. It's kind of like,
actually, that's too close. That's too close to home. Cause that just is Matt Kleinman.
What about Late Nights with Mitch? So late he's a late night talk show host.
Oh, I like that.
And he has guests on, and it just talks about, all it does is promo his guests that he's going to have on that night. And that's all it is.
All right. I like that. I'll have one more. Mitch, but it's not a Twitter account. It's a YouTube account where he drives around in his car and then goes to like McDonald's or to other fast food places and then just reviews like the new items.
I like that. I like that.
In the car. And then he has like his camera like put to the, or like a GoPro,
mm-hmm.
like to on the dash.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, we're now going to try the new Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell.
And it does like a real mundane style. Like just.
No, like he's into it, but you know, like he's really worried about, are really concerned with and focused on the review. Like he wants to give his viewers like a legitimate.
He's a thought leader.
Review of the new Crunchwrap Supreme.
He's a thought leader. That's important. What about Abercrombie and Mitch? This is a new clothing
line.
You're
good at this. I should have prepared for this a little bit better. These are really good. Like my idea of that is like Abercrombie and Mitch, but he's like lives in 2005.
Yep. I was just like he super took it right into, out of, he took it right out of,
because that's when that existed. For real. So yep.
Although I think it was earlier than that. I think you can go.
No,
back
I mean
a
like when
it was
the height of the popularity. So like super into LFO, driving around in his like Honda Civic.
Hey,
Abercrombie and Mitch.
You just basically named my 2002.
Yeah.
I had a Honda Civic. I like.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Everybody has a Honda Civic. All right. Andrew, well, first of all, shout out to Mitch. Shout out to everybody who's listened to the song. If you haven't, check it out. You can just Google No Easy Buckets, Mitch Lightfoot, or No Easy Buckets, Jayhawk Talk. You'll find it. And shout out to Gifhawk or not Gifhawk or whatever his name is right now for putting some serious work into an awesome video. So appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's been a cool deal. I haven't been directly involved because this is your project, but so a lot of people have reached out, you know, from different aspects of the KU community, whether they're beat writers or whether they're just normal folks or whether they're folks who like Gifhawk or the Barstool guy,
yep,
who just cares about KU, and it kind of brings people together, gets people to know each other.
The collaborator.
Rather than just being faceless icons on Twitter.
Something like that. Well, let's move on, Andrew, but shout out to Mitch. Hopefully Mitch continues what he's doing, right? I mean, this is, he has a bona fide role on this team now. And you, here's the thing. Like, let's just talk about that K-State game. You couldn't take him off the court.
No. He played a lot.
He played 31 minutes, career high in minutes, and I get it. Like I still like the idea of not starting him. The just the tip lineup has to remain. Let McCormick stay in there, hopefully get the tip, just the tip, and then hopefully not foul out in that time. And then this saves Mitch from not fouling out in the first 4 minutes, which is also,
you know,
good.
David McCormick, 7 minutes. Started 7 minutes.
Just the tip. Just the tip lineup. And
all right, so let's talk about that K-State game. Let's actually get into basketball. You know, that's probably the thing that sticks out the most is Mitch played 31 minutes. And if you want to, you know, get into the math here, Mitch had 9 points, but that would be second on the team for K-State. Kamal Stokes had 12, but everybody else was under 10 points. It was 8-4, 8-7-6, 2-2. Like, K-State didn't score a lot of points. Like, we held them to 49, and that just kind of shows our defensive effort. You know, you've seen some things in the paper recently and some analysis about how this happened, but, you know, we just switched everything.
Yep.
Just switched everything, didn't let them. And, you know, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't work, but it worked here. We're athletic enough, and we've got the defensive presence enough that we can actually pull that off, which not all teams can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and Mitch being a little bit more versatile out there, I think helps on those switches. Lawson was switching, which, you know, runs him around a little bit more. But it was obviously after that Texas Tech game where, you know, we were kind of just getting beat off that pick and roll action, especially on 3-point range. They didn't get beat this time. And even though K-State did get some open looks, especially in that first half and bury them, it wasn't because of that. And there was actually pretty good defense overall, early in the shot clock, which we've been good at all year. But, man, that was an excellent defensive effort. Mitch had a lot to do with that, and so did Devon Dotson. Let's talk about him for a minute. He, you know, from an offensive standpoint, you look down, he still got his 16 points, 5 for 12. He wasn't great from the 3-point line, 1 for 5. But he made his mark in the defensive game, Andrew, going one-on-one the whole time with Mr. Brown, who ends up 1 for 8 from the field with 4 points in 35 minutes. How about that?
Verbal meme here. Me or Nate Bucati holding up the piece of paper saying Barry Brown 1 for 8 from the field.
1 for 8. Okay. I like that. 1 for 8, worst game of the season, I think, probably for him. And I think Dotson had a lot to do with that. He's so athletic. He's so quick. He's using that athleticism on the defensive end now more and more, which is, it's so awesome to see. And then I think we can also give Quentin Grimes a shout out. Actually played the most minutes in that game. Would you have guessed that?
I would not have guessed that.
36 and minutes.
I will do the obligatory. Maybe that'll get him going.
You know, he was pretty good. He was good on defense.
He was good. You know, had 3 3-pointers, yep. And they looked good too.
Yep.
Sometimes yep. When he shoots his threes, they're a little erratic, but those looked good, and mostly because they went in. But I wouldn't say he's like, oh, he's turned the corner, but that was a great game for Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, I agree. And if all he does is go berserk on defense, gives you a ton of energy, makes some 3-pointers, hopefully gives you some athletic plays in the paint from, you know, a couple of those. I mean, that's a person that needs to play 30 minutes. I mean, because he's got the skill set to still impact the game, even when he's not being this slasher, you know, get to the paint guy that a lot of people were expecting from him. And I think he's starting to, hopefully the game slow down a little bit. He's started to put together three or four or five decent games in a row here. He hasn't been great, but he's been decent. And if he can just still sort of creep toward that ceiling, I think that's going to go a long ways. The other person, Andrew, we got to talk about, I think, is Ochai.
Yeah. Ochai, struggling the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, as Quentin's stock has gone up a little bit, Ochai's has gone down a little bit. Only played 16 minutes, didn't score.
And Mitch. I think Mitch has something to do with that, too.
Sure.
And Marcus Garrett coming back. I mean, there's a lot of things that playing into that.
But Mitch looked like, I mean, not Mitch, Ochai looked like a freshman.
Yep.
These past couple games, you know, Texas Tech didn't go well, and obviously the K-State game, he did not score. So, you know, he's hitting that wall. You know, he hasn't had a full season to figure that out, and so he's kind of doing a condensed version of this freshman wall that he's hitting, you know, 10, 12 games in, like all freshmen do. But you know, he's got to get to a point where he can play like a sophomore, play like we saw him earlier in the season, and I think he can. We just got to get, if we get everybody on this team playing like they could, this team's going to be frosty. This team's going to be dangerous, but it's, we got to get there first.
And we're getting closer. So let's, I don't know, anything else from that K-State game, Andrew?
You know, just the reaction, I think, that I want to see, that I want to talk about a little bit from salty K-State fans. You know, we see this every year. I think most of the anger has been directed at Nate Buchady. So, you know, good on Nate Buchady for just taking that punishment. Because if it wasn't directed towards him, it would be directed towards something else or everyone else. The referees,
yeah.
Or whatever. So Nate Buchady took the brunt of that.
Yeah, he did. It was pretty douchey, I think, that we can all agree.
Oh, who cares, though?
But I don't really care either. And you and I have sat in those seats before. Like, I feel like I've gotten caught up before sitting there. Because you feel like you are in it. I mean, you feel like you're right there. I mean, you're hearing every word that's said from the coaches. You're hearing every word that's, you know, all the shit talking. You're hearing and seeing everything that's really unfolding in the game in a way that you can't at any other spot in that field house or on TV. So like, I sort of get it a little bit. But at the same time, that was pretty douchey. But the meme potential, so worth it. And I'm also here with my popcorn GIF, watching all the K-State replies to his Twitter, the Twitter machine, because they were so golden. I mean, people like, he's obviously going to lose his job. Like, A-10 should fire this guy. boy, I'm gonna not renew my season tickets to Sporting KC if this guy remains
that's one of the better ones.
Like, what? Like, if, of all people, like the snowflakes at K-State over that. Like, that's what you get fired up of. It's so funny, but whatever. It is what it is. It's very on brand for our friends to the west. And it was a lot of fun just watching Twitter on. That was one of those nights that, like, Twitter was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, Twitter was A+ after that K-State game from everybody. Everyone brought their A+ game, including K-State fans with their terrible takes, which just made it so awesome.
All right, so let's walk through the rest of the Big 12 season. So we have a couple things that we've got to do that have to happen for us to win the Big 12 race. So we didn't win on Saturday. If you hadn't heard that, Kevin, I don't know if you knew that.
I already forgot.
But we are currently in third place behind K-State and Texas Tech. We are one game behind. KenPom has us projected currently to lose. So to finish 12-6 and for K-State and Texas Tech to both finish at 13-5. However, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. We can. It's still theoretically possible, I think, for there to be a 5-way or even a 6-way tie for first. So anything's possible. But K-State and Texas Tech are our main opponents here. Let's look at K-State first. They play Baylor at home, which, who knows? Baylor's been weird and K-State's been weird. So that could happen. I think what we need to look at here is TCU away next Monday. So K-State going into Fort Worth. KenPom has that as a 64-63 win for TCU. And TCU's kind of dropped some games recently, hasn't had a good stretch. They've lost 4 of 5, but one of those 5 is beating Iowa State at Iowa State. But then they come back and they lose to West Virginia in 3 overtimes last night. So that's one we got to look at. And then they play Oklahoma at home. We need them to lose one of those games.
You know what? I think they're going to lose to Baylor. I don't know why. Yeah, I think they're going to lose to Baylor at home. It just feels like some weird game. Baylor always has these crazy games that just come out of nowhere where they just go and on the road and beat somebody or do something. Never to Kansas, but I just feel like that's going to happen. I mean, Baylor's been pretty good. They've won 3 of 4. They lost to Tech and they got destroyed at Tech, but they also went on the road and beat Iowa State. Remember that? Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? And then obviously they beat West Virginia. So they've got a game against Texas and they get K-State on Saturday. And I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like they're going to lose that game. K-State's a little hobbled. They're beat up. They are still shorthanded. Maybe a little let down after that KU game. Bruce is going to do it, Bruce. I don't know. I just feel like something's going to happen there.
Okay. Now let's look at Texas Tech. Texas Tech barely pulled off an overtime win at home against Oklahoma State tonight. If Oklahoma State would have won that game, it would have made things much easier. But Texas Tech also travels to Fort Worth to play TCU. So TCU could really play spoiler here and be our best friend by winning a couple of these games, and they may need them to get into the tournament. So these are do or die games for TCU. And then Texas Tech also plays Texas at home. And then a big one travels to Ames to Iowa State, currently projected to lose that game. So if it goes the way KenPom has it, they will lose a game. K-State will lose a game and we are projected to win out. Based on projections, based on game by game, not necessarily projections for the rest of the season combined. But we've got some tough ones. We go to Stillwater, then we go to Norman, finish at home for a non-senior night, senior night against Baylor a week from Saturday. Can we do this?
I think so, Andrew. I really do. I think that I think that K-State's going to lose again. What I don't know is if Texas Tech is going to lose again. I think they're this letdown game tonight where they were favored by freaking 20 points or something, probably close to it. KenPom has it as an 18-point spread. I don't know what the final number was in Vegas, but going into overtime, you know, you had to think maybe after that Kansas game there's going to be a little letdown. This would have sure been nice if they'd have lost this one, but they still got to go to TCU, as you mentioned. That's the game to watch. I mean, Saturday is just going to be huge. And our game is important, but we're going to be watching these other ones pretty closely.
I think you're right. So, you know, what needs to happen? Let's kind of go through this player by player and see kind of what the team looks like, what's left in the season and what needs to happen. So, let's start with Dedrick. We haven't talked about Dedrick all game or all podcast. This is probably our most important player and, you know, has made some adjustments to his game, kind of plays a more perimeter oriented game, both on offense and defense. So what are your thoughts on Dedrick?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where he's comfortable anyway. I mean, it's not a guy who's going to get you a bucket against a 6'11 guy down low, you know, banging around. So I think he's better face up. Probably if he's going to go to the league in any way, he's going to be a face up guy. So I liked, you know, that move. I think it made sense, obviously, for a lot of reasons, spacing and et cetera, for Kansas to go that way after the Doak injury. And Andrew, he's been pretty good, a little less efficient this last game, but he still ended up with freaking 14 rebounds. So you can't just luck into 14 rebounds. I mean, he's playing hard. He's playing pretty good defense. And The three-pointer has come around. I mean, in the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 10 games or something, he's probably shooting 40-50% from three. I don't have it in front of me, but it's been really good. And that's been a different element to the game too. And if he can stretch the floor and take people off the dribble, doing his little spin move and still playing his smooth little game, he's going to be a huge part. I think we rely on his 18 to 20 points a game. I mean, I think that if he does not get there, you're looking for some 3-point buckets to be falling in that game to win the game. Otherwise, I mean, we're pretty reliant on him getting his 18. The good news is every game he figures out a way to do it, whether it's free throws or whatever else. So he's been really good.
You know, now who do you want to talk about next? So Dotson, I think, is becoming the guy we thought he could be, the guy we thought he is. I don't think he needs to do much more than he's doing right now. I mean, I think as a freshman, Devon Dotson, I think he's hit his ceiling, right?
He's been so good. I mean, I don't know what more you can ask from a freshman point guard. I mean, he's probably, if he's not the best freshman point guard in the NCAA, like we could have a stern talk about that. I think he's been really, really, really good, and he's just getting better and better and better. I think the one thing I'd like to see from him, he still turns the ball over a little bit, but you know, he just gets going so fast. He's so quick. It'd be nice to maybe rein some of that in. You know, he does that thing where he kind of the Frank Mason of the freshman sophomore year, where he gets downhill and then goes once he gets close to the basket.
Right. But you know, especially Frank's like sophomore year.
Yeah.
Like he got to the bucket so easily and so quickly, he just couldn't get the ball to go in.
Right. But
I think Dotson's a lot better than sophomore Frank at doing that specific thing, but it's got some elements of it. It got some components of it.
But he's been so good. You can't, I mean, God, if you have expectations higher, you know, a higher ceiling than what you're seeing from him, like you're asking a lot of a freshman point guard, but, he's been really good, and I think if he can just continue what he's doing, that's amazing. I think it's probably worth talking about as we sort of define the roles here. You know, we know what Diedrich's role is. We now know what Dotson's role is. I think we started to talk about what Quentin Grimes' role is. I mean, he's been better on defense. You know, energy guy. He's making shots a little bit on the perimeter. I think he has to play. You know, there was a lot of push early on. Boy, you got to sit Quentin, sit Quentin, sit Quentin. I haven't heard that near as much of late, which I still think is right. And I don't know. What's your perspective there?
Well, I think it's completely inappropriate to like compare him to other players and other, you know, specific storylines, but I'm going to do it anyway. Cause that's what we do as KU fans. We say, who's the next Jeff Graves? Who's the next Darnell Jackson? Who's the next blah, 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 blah.
Nobody says who's the next Jeff Graves.
Yes, we do. You and I do.
Other than us.
Well, whatever, you and I do. So, I'm going to say like what we want to have happen here is we need him to have a Malik Newman March.
Yeah.
And now I think Malik turned it on a little bit earlier than Quentin would have. I'd be curious to go back and look at the box scores, but we need him. He's skilled enough to have something like that happen.
Yeah.
And it's certainly possible, but he could have that. He is a good enough offensive player, a good enough leader. And then obviously we're not questioning much of his defense. I think he's come along
getting better
on that. But I mean, the rest of it can come along and he could certainly have that. You know, if we were to think about what Malik did, Malik got really hot from three. And you know, we started to see that slasher mentality that was promised. And, you know, Quentin certainly has that pedigree too. Now I don't think, and he'd have to have a really, really good March to go pro. So I think that's not going to happen.
I think it's a coin flip. I think if I gun to head, I think he still goes pro.
If he has a good March or just generally?
If he has a above average to good March.
Maybe.
I could be wrong, but just kind of. Should, but I think he could take the Malik Newman approach or the Wayne Selden approach, not get drafted and then find his way. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong there, certainly.
Right. But who knows? But like, I mean, obviously that's the comparison that we'd like to have happen. But you know, it's completely inappropriate to do that, but who cares? this is podcast talk radio or whatever you call it.
So Andrew, let's talk about Ochai. You know, he obviously played minutes, a lot of minutes when Marcus Garrett was out. He's played really well. The last couple games, he's disappeared a little bit. I think he's still making athletic plays. He's still playing good defense, getting some boards, etc. But, you know, he's not providing the 13 and 10 or 13 and 8, which he was kind of 15 and 8, what he was doing for like a stretch there. I don't know that you need to ask a lot of him. I think you're hoping he comes and provides that spark, energy, athleticism, above the rim play that he was doing for a while there. You know, you hope he can make some shots. But what kind of, and really in the question is, what in light of Marcus being back and looking like he's healed, what do you think the breakdown of minutes between those two is going to be going forward?
You know, I think pretty even, and it probably depends on situation. It's kind of a luxury to depend on situation. So if you need, you know, a shutdown defender, I think that you could see Marcus's minutes, you know, go up a little bit. You know, but if you need an offensive spark, I think Ochai. So it's going to be different for every team, and that's fine. I think that that's probably the way to approach it with kind of their skill sets. But I think Ochai is going to end up getting more minutes if he comes back around and kind of gets out of this slump. Cause I think, you know, ultimately his offensive capability and definitely his defensive strength, I mean, not as good as Marcus, but you know, defensive prowess can take us a long way. And that athleticism just can't be replaced in the lineup. We saw that, you know, in mid-February when he was going full bore. And if he's hitting those shots, if he's doing what we think he can do, we're going to have a good chance to win the game. But otherwise, you know, Marcus also brings a lot to the table. It's lucky to have both of them. I'll say that.
I agree. You have some flexibility there. And then I think probably got to talk about Mitch. I think he's the one guy we know what we're getting. We know what his role is, enforcer. His role is energy. His role is kind of pick me up passion. No one's going to out try Mitch on the court. And I think that's contagious and that's a good thing. I think we've seen that. I think guys react to that when he goes and gets a block after a hard foul, I mean, he was finger wagging dudes. He was Dikembe Mutombo-ing guys in this last game, Andrew. He's feeling it right now. And obviously that's pretty awesome for this team. Cause it gives an identity, something that we obviously need and have not really had this year. We haven't had the Marcus Morris. We haven't had the Sharon. We haven't had the feel of somebody who's going to like, I'm badder, I'm bigger, I'm meaner than you. And, you know, I'm not going to step down to you. This team hasn't shown that except maybe for Mitch. I mean, am I wrong?
You know, I'm trying to think. I can't disprove you, but my initial reaction was, you know, I think I can't. You're right.
I mean, at least outwardly. I mean, there's guys like Dotson's killer. Dotson's right. A killer. Like he's not, but you know what I mean. Like he's a different kind. He's a different. He approaches it differently. But you need someone to go punk someone. Like Mitch is punking dudes right now. and I think McCormick has that. I mean, he's obviously a big frame, big dude. I mean, he brings a lot of energy, but just not quite there yet. You know, he's going to get there, I think, but not quite there yet. But Marcus coming off the bench is our energy bunny, man, Energizer Bunny. And he's a lot of fun to watch. And frankly, something that one of those kind of like Matt Tate said, kind of one of those folk hero guys that's just gonna potentially be a factor that leads to a deep run in the tournament. And I hope that's the case.
We need to give him the blockchain. He certainly earned the blockchain.
Mitch blockchain Mitch hashtag Twitter handle blockchain Mitch.
Blockchain. You know, there you go. There's another
one. Mitch. So blockchain Twitter Mitch, account. Andrew, let's think about that. So the block thing is obvious. Blockchain is an open source. So he's usually open on offense.
Yeah. You're thinking about it too hard. it's like the turnover chain, but it's a blockchain.
Okay. Okay.
He just has a chain that says rejected. It's right. Like made out of gold by Joslyn's jewelry. They've donated the blockchain to the last person who had a good block game. Similar to Coral Gables. And yeah, there you go. The blockchain, and Mitch currently is in possession of the blockchain.
At Blockchain Mitch. All right. Yes. So we got some role players, some guys off the bench, probably fouls playing a role in KJ and McCormick and Charlie Moore. You know, that's it. Like, that's the team. You know, McCormick's obviously proven that he's going to be the starting guy. He did play a little bit more in that Texas Tech game. You know, Mitch didn't play much in that game. I thought it was kind of weird that he didn't, but, anyway, so, you know, I think we know what we've got there. I'm not sure it begs a whole lot more analysis. I'm just curious between those three.
You know, I don't know if it's going to be just different. It's going to be different for every game and who the hot hand is. You know, and otherwise, I'm just looking at the roster here.
Are you predicting a Charlie Moore hot hand?
I'm predicting a KJ Lawson.
I was going to say. 3-point shooting contest right now. Would you take Marcus Garrett or Charlie Moore?
Marcus Garrett.
I think I would too.
Charlie did hit one the other day.
He did.
But he's like 2 for the last 55, or that's not an accurate stat, folks, but it feels like it.
It does feel like it. All right.
Anyway, I just want more KJ. maybe I'll write a KJ song.
There you go. look forward to that.
I do not have the talent like you do. Maybe I'll make a KJ short film.
Like a limerick?
No, like it's gonna be a coming of age story about KJ Lawson.
I like that. I look forward to that. I know some folks with video capabilities if you need it.
So. Okay.
All right. Well, Andrew, what else do we got? I think we've gone through the schedule. We've gone through the roster. We've talked about the teams. Anything else before we get out of here?
You know, it's going to be a difficult week. We have to have a lot of things happen. The things are not in our control. We may not end up winning the Big 12. Like, we could. We've been in this situation before when we've come back and won. But we've got two really good teams ahead of us. And, you know, ultimately, I think we've got to be prepared for that to happen because it's not in our control. But at the end of the day, we've got a good team that can make a run in March. Whatever happens with the Big 12 race, this team is going to be prepared for March. Bill's going to have them ready. I'm ready. I am ready for March. I need it to warm up. I need it to none of this freezing rain. I'm ready for March, for the sun to come out, for basketball to be on, and well, let's get going.
So real quick, what, 3 weeks ago you kept hearing this team's not fun, this team is Bill Self's worst team. You didn't hear that on this podcast, but you see it on Twitter, right? And this team's gonna break the streak, they're not gonna get through the first weekend, blah 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 blah, least likable Bill Self team. And then all of a sudden, I don't think that's the case anymore. I haven't seen anything like that since really the past couple of weeks. And that's, I think a lot of it has to do with Mitch, frankly, Dotson just turning it on. But it's interesting to see that, you know, throughout the year, and people listening, you know who you are. You were saying that some people on the KU Twitter was pretty negative about this team. And I think KU Twitter is pretty positive about this team. Now it's interesting to watch. And I got one more piece of really good news, Andrew.
Okay.
I am on https://www.teamrankings.com. www.teamrankings.com.
Oh, that sounds like an official website.
/bracketology/ that's the end. And it, Andrew, it runs thousands of computer simulations on the college basketball season, including all remaining regular season games, conference tournaments, NCAA selections, seeding, etc. And I have this to report. The University of Kansas has a 100% chance to make the NCAA tournament.
Woo-hoo! Woo! Oh, right? Oh, that That is a load off of my conscience because
I'm just saying.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that makes, it's got to make people feel a little better. I mean, it makes me feel better. For what it's worth, they have us on the S curve at team 10, right behind Tennessee and before Michigan, which is different than you see in a lot of bracketology, as a 3 seed. That sounds pretty good to me. I'd be all right with that. I'd be all right with that. Hopefully in the Midwest. So, Andrew, the good news is I think we're going to make the NCAA tournament, and we'll see what happens from there. Hopefully this Big 12 thing happens. If it doesn't, I think we're all going to be okay, right? I think we're all going to be okay.
Just start a new streak.
Start a new streak. And, you know, you're right. We're going to know a lot this week. It could happen. It may happen. But if it doesn't, it's okay. Because this team has actually turned it around, made the season fun again, and that's what matters. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the team. Appreciate people coming around. Appreciate those who are listening to the podcast. Go out there, leave us a rating, 5-star rating on iTunes. Helps us get this here podcast out to more people. We don't have advertisements. We don't have sponsors. We just goof around with this for fun. The one thing we ask of you, we don't ask you to go to some restaurant or buy a mattress or, you know, download another self-help video. All we want you to do is leave us that 5-star rating. Takes 2 seconds. Do that for us. We appreciate it very much. And we will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast, where Andrew will premiere his KJ Lawson music video. Until then.
Maybe a cartoon. Maybe it's going to be a cartoon.
All right. Whatever it is. Andrew's going to debut something about KJ Lawson. Until then, we'll catch you next time in Rock Chalk.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
For my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, 9 times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it.
This
one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. It's for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. It's for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. It's for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks.